Happy Friday, everybody. Darren Criss from Glee coming up on the big show. Richard Belzer. It's a star-studded lineup. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Our good friend, we'll be busting her out of the newsroom. Yes, we are. For all the latest on the Boston stuff. And more. And a little corner.
Imagine reading news.
There she is.
I think she gets up in the night and burns the lights.
Yes.
The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
Everybody singing along now. Hello, good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning. Sorry we were a little delayed there. Travis and I were planning out our weekend.
Changing recipes as you do.
Flirtini's involved.
Right.
We're not doing it on your time or dime or anything.
No. You know how sexy liberal tour director Roland Scahill is a tiny bit high-strung?
Just a little bit.
Yes. So, you know, in the midst of all this news with the Boston and that the New York might be the next, it might have been the next target and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just moved to a new apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like near 54th and the River.
Mm-hmm.
So he had just fallen asleep last night when there were huge explosions. And he woke to find out there was a fireworks display, which, and Twitter apparently exploded. And they're like, could you give somebody a heads up? This is
why was it? What holiday was it that there was a fireworks display?
I don't. It wasn't
fireworks
a holiday.
Fireworks Appreciation Day.
Exactly.
Why would there be a random fireworks
display? It was off, you know, in the river there, like 54th. And, you know, they have those, whatever, ships or stuff that have fireworks displays.
Oh, is this in place of Fleet Week?
I don't know.
I have visions of Roland buying a canoe and tying it to the
right.
fence along the river.
Right.
And just having it there in case, like a personal lifeboat.
Right. Just a lot of WTF on Twitter. Just, really? Could you give us a heads up given the timing? What's happening?
We're just practicing fireworks in case there's a need.
Yes. His dog Butters, even more high-strung than Roland.
Yeah.
So it was a tense night.
Butters melted.
Butters melted in the, with the, yes, exactly. All right, so Jackie Schechner, that's the big news, is he is out of the hospital already and into in prison, right?
Yep. Yes, that Jahar Tsarnaev is now out of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and moved to a federal facility because some of the victims are being treated there, and they were upset that he was in the same facility with good reason, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's now been moved, and he's going to be there until he stands trial.
More importantly, I think my producer, Chris LaVoy, is deliberately giving me the wrong pronunciations to make me look stupider than I already do.
Why? Because Jahar was pronounced incorrectly? Well, it's not
Jokar. That's what he said. It was
Jokar
with a K. And it's also not Jubaldot. Mother.
Zubaldot.
Yeah, but Jubaldot.
Zubaldot. Zubaldot.
Zubaldot. Yeah, the other possibility.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's see. And then we have some. This is, well, they're not really conspiracy theories. It's but you can give me just my Russian music in general. Patty in Fort, just wondering. There are a lot of people have questions. Patty in Fort Lauderdale says, dear Steph, if the Tsarnaevs.
Tsarnaev.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're here under asylum. Doesn't that mean they'd be in danger or killed if they returned to their country? If that was true, how was it that they traveled back there without problems? And if they're being flagged by Russian intelligence enough to show up on their radar screen, how was it they were allowed visas and travel passage without question?
Mm-hmm.
When the FBI were alerted to their flagging, the Russians suddenly stopped communications with the FBI, providing no further info. Why are their parents back here? Aren't they in danger for their lives? If not, why not? Randy Rhodes, which I've listened to her, surmises that Putin wants Americans to be unsympathetic towards Chechnya because
that's what I've been saying
they
all
will
along.
Be cracking down for the upcoming Olympics and committing human rights violations. They want us to give Russia a pass in the name of security. I have a feeling Randy is right. She's been right a lot. Randy is right a lot.
She's been listening to me, clearly.
9 minutes after. Okay. I don't know, Jackie, what do you think?
No, well, there's so much foresight involved in this, right? I mean, it's like so much who has this kind of time to plan this sort of long-term conspiracy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible that there's something larger at play in terms of how they ended up in the country and then were able to travel back and forth between here and Russia. But I haven't dug into the details enough to feel like I can speak on that particular portion with any authority.
It's entirely possible they slipped through the cracks. There are a lot of people that come in and out of the country all the time.
It really got my attention when Putin was
there before we knew who the suspects were.
Exactly.
How did he know? It was the big cartoon hand.
Yeah,
I mean, there's obviously a lot of research that needs to be done into this, and I think most specifically is why we're having such a breakdown in communication between federal agencies when we thought this was something that was going to be addressed after 9/11, and it appears that they're still not communicating with each other. And in at least one case, Senator Susan Collins has said there's one agency that's not communicating with itself. So I think the big
I'm not
problem
talking
here
to you.
not talking to me. I'm not talking to me.
Not talking to me. I can talk to my hand.
You'd think we'd learn our lesson after 9/11, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the big commission findings, that we've got to have better communication between agencies and within agencies themselves. I mean, yeah, I have no problem with more government efficiency. I think we have a real big problem that we need to take a look at why our systems aren't working and why our communication is so poor.
It sounds like there's too much rivalry between the agencies that need to be communicating.
Yeah, and there's also a really big trend in Washington of failing up. And I know it's a little controversial to probably say it, but there are a lot of people in these government agencies who aren't very good at their jobs.
What?
And it's very hard. No, and it's very hard to get them fired. So instead of saying, I'd like to get rid of this person, they recommend them for the other department, and people are failing up. What we need to do is be as discriminating in these government agencies and these government jobs as we are in other capacities and say, look, if you're not doing your job, it's time to move on.
I'm president of the Herp Derp Desk.
All that being said, it does not appear thus far, does it, that this is connected to some larger organized terror organization? Because what you just reported at the top, I'd love. They're like, yeah, they were going to go bomb New York, but they're like, oh, we're out of gas.
Yeah. It doesn't sound all that sophisticated.
The car we hijacked now doesn't have gas. What? Really?
Didn't they bring some cash for gas or something?
Yeah, I'm really curious. That's like we got Slim Jims, we got
someone
Gatorade,
and corn nuts,
we got tickets to a show.
Did someone drop the Huggies? Like, what's going on? What?
These come in funny shapes at all.
But we got corn nuts.
Not unless we're
on
road money.
Trip planner ever.
We're out of gas. Oh, well.
Yeah. Can we stop for fast food? Yes. Do we have gas? No.
And let's talk about Zubeldot.
Zubeydot.
Right, Zubeydot. Zubeydot. What is it? There's no L.
Zubeydot.
We just like it.
Well, the I looked like an L to me, so that's why I said Zubeldot.
It's like a jujube and a Mike and Ike. She's like a fruit-flavored candy snack.
Is there any
like
desperate...
a Zagnut.
Right. Yes. Is there a Desperate Housewives of, like, you know, Kazakhstan or something? Because she's just... Oh, she... Right? I was watching that last night. I'm just transfixed. She's really...
Well, you know, she was caught shoplifting from Lord and Taylor.
I know. Well, that's why they're saying she can't come on the trip because, you know, she'll end up in the hooscow like her
well,
son.
Well, for her credit, have you been in a Lord and Taylor lately?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Jackie?
We don't have them here on the West
Coast. It's pretty quiet. Like, yeah. You probably could walk out
it's
or
like,
something.
It's like the place where your grandmother shops, you know?
No, you know what? They have some good brands, and I don't mind, but at least the one in D.C. that I used to shop at was very, very quiet. You're like worried you're going to wake the store.
I don't know. I'd like to see her. You know, I keep up with the Kardashians. Something. She's just. She's very emotive.
There's a lot of rending of garments with her.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Gnashing of teeth, rending of garments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, she just one of her sons just was killed, and the other is, you know, now being accused of wielding a weapon of mass destruction. There's some parenting issues going on.
You think? Well, you think? She is absolutely certain they did not do it.
She and Dina Lohan need to have a little chat.
Yeah. she's the Dina Lohan of Kazakhstan or wherever she's from. Okay, here she is.
I thought America is going to like protect us, our kids. It's going to be safe for like any reason. But it happened. My kids just... America took my kids away from me. Only America.
Well, when your kids blow up a lot of people in Boston, America tends to take your kids away. Sorry.
You can't have your kids. No kids for you.
Wowee. All right.
It's a little hard to understand, too.
Yes.
I don't know if it's all the emotion or...
A little of all of the above.
The drama.
Yes.
I see a reality show.
Yes. Yeah. And the dad, as I mentioned, not the keenest legal mind.
No. Actually, you know what the new reality show is? That woman paired with the guy who cursed on his local television show.
Yes.
There you go.
He just
AJ.
Swears
and,
at her.
And the sorority letter writer.
Oh!
You mean the punter?
That is genius.
She's been fired, and she will come back to wreak revenge. She resigned. She will come back to wreak revenge. I'd like to see that letter now.
That is genius.
What's worse than
she's got a bucket of pig blood waiting for somebody.
Yeah, this is going to be good now.
Can we have this executive produced by Stephanie Miller?
Yes.
Yes. Zubeldot and the sorority girl. Oh, my God. We got to end
And A.J. Clementi.
And F-bomb, S-bomb, A.J. Yeah, exactly. All right. And also, I have, speaking of which, an OMG WTF for Jackie's healthcare corner.
Oh.
Yeah, I, you know, it's so funny. I hear it on Rush Limbaugh, and I automatically assume it not to be true. Mm-hmm. But this was actually in Politico. Congressional leaders in both parties are engaged in high-level confidential talks about exempting lawmakers and Capitol Hill aides from the insurance exchanges they are mandated to join as part of President Obama's health care overhaul, sources in both parties say. Which does not look good, does it?
Yeah, no.
What
worst PR move ever. Yeah, I mean, this would not be good. I'm not entirely sure what the facts are behind this in terms of how much of this is real and how much of this is a little bit overblown and fabricated. I think the question, from what I can gather, is that the way it works now is government people get their benefits through the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, which is essentially the same way that private insurance works with your company. Like, your company subsidizes your premiums.
Right.
Right? Your company helps either pay the whole premium or part of the premium, and that's how the government works with its employees benefits program. And they're trying to figure out now, will the government continue to subsidize health insurance at the same rates it does when all of these people join the exchanges? And so that's the question now, is how much subsidy is going to be involved, because if you don't subsidize insurance, and frankly, it's going to be expensive, and we've got to get those subsidies in place so that people can afford it. So I think that's the question. I don't think it's a matter of, is the quality good enough for Congress? I think the question is just how much money is going to be dumped in to subsidize compared to where it stands now with the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
by the way, all taxpayer money. So
right, exactly. But for instance, so here's a question that it raises: would John Boehner's new son-in-law be able to go to, like, say, rehab for marijuana abuse?
Oh my God! I mean, I saw that and immediately sent it off to you and Chris. I was like, he doesn't just look like he smokes weed; he does.
He does.
The New York Daily News has the best. They're going to go into the chapel and their ganja get married. Oh, New York Daily News! Come on.
Oh, Boehner must be beside himself.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious. He's Jamaican, and he has a giant,
hat.
Right, hat.
Like an Erykah Badu hat.
Right, an Erykah Badu hat.
Yes.
You guys made all sorts of jokes yesterday about his potential for pot smoking, and then there was an article that he actually got arrested for smoking weed.
The thing is we know that John Boehner has plenty of Cheetos and other munchies around the house. That are orange, so he should be fine. All right.
That's how he keeps his hands so tan.
That'd be funny. That's all they serve is munchies at the wedding.
Of course.
It's like the whole country of Amsterdam.
Have some Cheetos and Tang. Welcome to the Boehner Party. All right. Jackie Scheckner, thank you. Love you.
My pleasure, guys.
See you at the top. There she goes. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste. Nothing works faster and lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath Mouthwash and Toothpaste, available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right, I was mentioning Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland Scale, who is even more high-strung now because there was a fireworks display right off.
Could he
his
see
apartment.
The fireworks at least?
I'm not sure. He could hear them.
Okay.
He probably could see
the flashes off of other buildings.
People
maybe.
Were a little bit skittish.
In New York?
These days.
What?
Yes.
Really?
He thought literally bombs were going off and it was fireworks. However, he also had really good news this week I forgot to mention.
What?
He was nominated as a Theater Producer of the Year by the American League of Theater for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Nice!
Yes! Live Theater Producer of the Year.
Can we vote?
American League of Theaters or some such.
And they did a fireworks display in his honor.
Right, that was for him. It was a personal fireworks display.
Can the public vote on this, or is this just a vote amongst his peers?
No, probably just fancy theater people.
Okay.
Yes. All right, Shirley in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that I'm a liberal, I'm a Democrat, I'm a progressive. But I think liberals and Democrats and progressives have got to take the cotton out of their brains as far as Islamic extremism.
How so?
Because I've been doing, since 9/11, I've been doing a lot of research and reading on the ideology of Islamic extremism, and it is a serious problem in that religion. I know there are Christians that are nut jobs, but they don't threaten to go out and kill anybody. And it's a serious problem. I just finished reading.
Hang on. Surely that part is not true. I mean, we obviously, a lot of people were comparing this to Eric Rudolph, who, blew up the gay nightclubs mm-hmm. and he was
abortion clinics
in Atlanta.
And the Atlanta Olympics.
That is true, but people are not aware of the rampant violence in the Islamic world, the Arab countries. I mean, if you read The Looming Tower, everybody read The Looming Tower, and you get a hint of what has been going on, actually, since the decline of the Ottoman Empire.
Well, how seriously do you take Christian extremism, Shirley?
I do. I take it very seriously. I'm an atheist, so uh-huh. I don't like religion per se.
Okay.
But
Shirley, I'm not saying
threatened to cut my head off. I haven't had blowing. I mean, aside from Eric Rudolph and
Tim McVeigh.
Tim McVeigh was Christian.
Tim McVeigh was also Christian. I mean,
they are Christian, mm-hmm. but. You've got to reread about what has been going on in the Islamic world.
Right. I'm not saying that what part of what you're saying is not true, but I think what we're saying is, we had this Muslim commentator, lawyer, comedian, a friend of mine, Dean Abdallah. Yeah, who I'm on CNN. I'll probably be on CNN with today. But he was saying that as a Muslim, he looks at this as, the people that misuse Islam like this, like some Christians misuse, the Bible to commit violence. He was just saying he sees it as more political and not religious.
Well, I'll tell you something. The problem with the whole Islamic issue is the fact that since the decline of the death of the Ottoman Empire, there have been a massive numbers of Muslims who have not been able to accept that demarcation between government and religion. They want to...
Not all countries have a demarcation between government and religion.
Right.
That is true, but that's the problem. They have a huge populations that want to restore that.
Okay.
They want to restore the unity of government and religion.
Right.
Okay, but for instance, Shirley, these particular bombers, the Boston suspect, he has said, and we'll see, but I mean, he has said that it was driven mostly by, that sounds political, about us being in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's political, isn't it? It's not religious.
That is true, but they did it under the religion. You notice he's identified.
Yeah, that was obviously a part of it.
Religion.
Yeah, that's part of it. No, you're right. I mean, it is certainly part of it. It is absolutely misusing Islam.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is about in the United States is some of these Christian nuts, when Pat Robertson says something idiotic, there's a massive blowback on what he says.
Right. Not as massive as you might think.
No. Well, I mean, Shirley, we just did a story yesterday. This guy, anti-choice activist in Iowa, he suggested that it would be a good thing if more abortion doctors were killed.
That's
terrorism.
He suggested it. He's not doing it.
But he's
some
kind of inciting violence
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a problem in the Islamic world. It really
it's
is.
It's also a problem in
it's
other
not,
religions.
To say it would be a blessing for the babies if someone were to shoot. He's talking about the doctors that are taking over Dr. Mm-hmm. Tiller's clinic, who was shot in church in front of his family by a Christian extremist. So is it not the same thing?
It is the same thing, but the thing is, in the Islamic world, it's almost a given that people think like that.
No, it's not.
What about all the mosques in the Boston area that will not do a service for Tamerlan because they said this is against the Koran?
Well, I'm sure that they would, if they did a service, there'd be a huge blowback on that, and they're afraid
from Muslims, there'd be blowback.
Right, but that's why they.
She just wasn't getting anything
I'm
through
not
her.
I'm certain what happened there. That was like pretty much all my relationships.
But another thing is the thing is...
She wasn't listening to you.
What? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'd love to stay and chat, but...
Stephanie Miller.
You're a total bitch.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. I had extra carnation in the bitch this morning.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. 1-800-YUM. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. A lot of people on Twitter calling Bolt on that last caller.
Yeah, the only someone said the only thing she didn't say was, I'm a small business owner.
Hello, I am a liberal and an atheist, and I have just been doing some research on 9/11.
I am a leftist Democrat.
Uh-huh. And I have concerns about Islamic extremism.
Yeah.
I've just stumbled across your show.
Yeah, the only people who use the word leftist are ones who use it as a pejorative.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The ones who think Obama is a leftist.
Yeah, exactly.
He's about as left as Nixon.
Amani in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Amani.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Well, the last caller really obviously didn't know what she was talking about. She's saying that terrorism is prevalent in the Middle East, and it's not about Islam. It's more about power. There's mullahs and muftis, the Islamic leaders, and they're trying to get more power. And more power is more money.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not about Islam itself. Most of these people that are, you know, performing these terrorist acts in the Middle East are illiterate, and they're looking to religion to help themselves, and they listen to the mullahs, and
right.
The mullahs tell them, this is what you got to do.
Right.
And so they don't question it, and it just makes me really mad. Well,
yeah.
Really mad as a Muslim that they're portraying the whole religion because of these extremists and nutcases.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, some of these places are a theocracy, right, over there. I mean,
yeah.
It's not that she didn't have some points, but, you know, I think it's as one of the imams said in outside of Boston, he said it specifically says in the Quran that, you know, you shouldn't kill. I mean, it's the same in every religion.
You don't kill the innocent.
Thou shalt not kill. Right.
Yeah. You don't kill the innocent is what the Quran says.
Right, which is why they refuse to do
exactly
a funeral, which is why they're coming to get him to do a weekend at Tams. Are they taking him back to Russia? I think so. I think that was the word yesterday.
Not before they take him water skiing.
Right. Stop it.
What?
Stop it. Now you're just... I am mother! You are being lazy! I taught you better water skiing than that! Okay, Kevin in Asheville.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I also am an atheist, or what I like to say is a recovering Christian. The caller was just plain offensive. I'm not sure if she's heard of things like Jim Crow or the KKK, all those things that were based on Christian ideology for centuries.
Right.
Encouraged.
Well, yes, hello, burning cross, all of that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the idea that, all religions, just in a nutshell, teach some sort of bigotry because, you know, their truth is they have a claim to have a monopoly on truth.
Yeah, Kevin, but, did you see Lincoln? A few months ago? Yeah, there they were arguing the Bible to justify slavery. People have used, you know, their religion for horrible purposes all, you know, since time began.
Right, and, you know, we're a few decades away from it, but it wasn't that long ago when it was very, very common for people to get together and lynch, you know, a black man in the middle of town. And we're not that far removed. We need to have people going around and saying the entire Muslim religion is evil and violent.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, our friend Dean, who was on with us yesterday, who's Muslim and a comedian, he was saying, you know, I'm Muslim, and his piece is called I'm Muslim and I Hate Terrorists, but he said we hate them more than most people because every time it happens, they're like, oh, great, you know, we're going to take the brunt now for people that are misusing Islam.
A lot of Islamic fundamentalism came directly from our overthrowing the democratically elected Mossadegh administration in Iran in 1953,
right.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That caused a lot of problems.
CIA and MI6, BP and Standard Oil.
Yeah.
And Truman, they went to Truman about it, and he said, told him go to hell. You know, we're trying to promote democratic regimes
right.
and not destroy them. But then Eisenhower came in, and they went to Nixon, and that's what happened.
And George W. Bush, it's nice because he opened his library yesterday.
Library.
Yes.
Yeah, and
it's nice to remember all the gifts he gave us.
Sure.
Like, strengthening the theocracy in Iran.
Exactly.
And, yes.
There was a lot of revisionist history going on yesterday. Holy crap.
Yeah. Wow.
But he strengthened the Shia, the really medieval whack jobs, you know, the Hussein administration were Sunni. And, yeah, he was a bastard, but
right.
We made it worse.
I got that twitch in my eye when I was listening to parts of his speech yesterday on TV because he was once again going, freedom, I believe in the
freedom of liberty.
Freedom.
Freedom.
My whole commitment was to freedom. To, you know,
my liberty. Deepest conviction.
Yeah, freedom.
The guiding principle of the administration is that the United States of America must strive to expand the reach of freedom.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm. A fiery kind.
One of the benefits of freedom is that people can disagree. Fair to say I created plenty of opportunities to exercise that right. That is the force
freedom.
Liberty. Of human freedom.
Fiery freedom
in all the world.
Freedom, freedom's cause.
Free dissent without freedom.
Human liberty.
Global appeal of liberty.
Call of freedom.
Liberty.
Your liberty.
Liberty in our land.
Liberty in other lands.
Right.
The meaning and promise of liberty.
And the liberty bell.
Freedom to others.
Freedom's enemies.
Right.
Fire of freedom.
American freedom.
Greater freedom.
America's ideal of freedom.
And America's ideal of freedom.
Right.
The message of freedom.
Right.
The cause of freedom.
Here
liberty
it is.
For all and the cause of freedom.
Oh,
freedom
God.
Came under attack.
Oh, right.
Whatever. We liberate a lot of people from their bodies.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Have some fiery freedom with some shock and awe berries. Here it is. Yeah, it's just, you know, when you realize what he's talking about, it's like, oh, yeah, that was like justification number, what, 12 for going into Iraq?
Yeah.
Oh, we're freeing the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm. About 3% of the population in Iraq were Christian when Saddam Hussein was in power. Mm-hmm. And there was even a small Jewish community in Baghdad.
That's
all gone now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're welcome, America.
In fact, it was the Jewish community that sold the liquor.
No, it's actually the Christians.
Oh, the Christians did? Okay.
Yeah.
Those are my people. Richard in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, it's rough growing up down here in the land of the rednecks. All we have is you to listen to. Other than that, we got like Pryor and Beebe and the rest of them.
You got nothing. All right, go ahead, Richard.
Well, I was talking about that woman who was on there who was talking about Islam. If you look at the Quran and you look at the Bible, they are so close, and they both say that no harm, no foul. Don't do wrong to anyone.
Right.
But when you look at what the Christians have done here in America, I'm part Cherokee Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the tribes that were killed out in the name of Christianity, children taken away from their parents and sent to school. So I am a Christian, but I've seen the things that Christianity has done in the name of Christianity.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people. There's people that, of course, cherry pick the Quran and say, "Oh, look, this is, you know, it's a violent religion." Read some parts of the Bible, and you know, as to how violent they are.
Yeah, and like I said, when they came to America, they saw the Indian people as subhuman, and they thought nothing about killing them because they were like, well, if they ain't Christian, they might as well be dead where they can go on to heaven. And what does that say for our views on civil liberties?
Yep. Good points. Yeah. Good points. Roman in Chicago on the same subject. Hi, Roman.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
So I don't want to sound pompous or like I'm smarter than everybody else, but to try to understand Islam and to compare it to the Bible, I think fails to miss to understand the point. I mean, the trouble with North African countries and Middle Eastern countries is largely understood because of the struggles they've had in the post-colonial world. We have meddled in those countries ever since the discovery of oil, and they have not been able to establish any type of political stability. You were just talking about the overthrow of the Shah. That was Operation Ajax by the CIA.
Right.
And we do it today. And if you want to see another area of the world where this problem exists, it's throughout sub-Saharan Africa. But there's not a lot of oil there, so we don't keep going and interfering with their governments. And so, therefore, we make ourselves the obvious target of their rage because we meddle. And I just think that
it doesn't justify violence, but you know,
it's nothing to do with the strict interpretation of the Quran and the similarities to the Bible. It's all economics. It's all about the autonomy of the people of of those countries, that they only really got autonomy when the British left after World War One, and then World War Two for India and other countries, and they've struggled for years. And the more we go and meddle in that, those areas, and this idea that there's
you know who agreed with you after the Iraq during the Iraq War was Pat Buchanan. Excuse me, after 9/11, I mean, he said they don't hate us for our freedom; they hate us for our policies. And you know, because it was someone on the right that said it, there was little reaction. Robert in Albuquerque. Hey, Robert.
Hey, I just again, you know, I want to pile on the previous caller, and anyway, you know, it has everything to do, radicalization of Islam has everything to do with economic issues, and you only have to look as far as Tamerlan Tsarnaev. He was a guy without a job, you know, couldn't find regular work, had time on his hands, and you know, after a while, they're going to listen to the first. You know, you get devout, you become devout religiously, and then you're gonna listen to the first radical person that comes talk to you, you know, promising, you know, whatever in the afterlife. And I think that's what's happened, in the Middle East, because there's a big disparity between the rich and the poor. And you know what? It's happening here in the United States. And, you know, we may not see it from, Islamic folks, but we may see it from Christian folks. You know, it doesn't matter what religion is involved. It's economic injustice that has everything to do with everything.
Yeah, it's certainly a component. All right, honey, thank you.
Actually, I wanted to correct one thing. It wasn't the overthrow of the Shah. It was the overthrow of Mossadegh.
And the installation of the Shah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
We put the Shah in. All
yes.
Right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with Darren Criss from Glee on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me rock it.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me rock it. This is all I want to do. Let me rock it.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Darren Criss from Glee coming up at the top of the hour. He's running a little late. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wayne in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wayne.
Oh, you caught me in a Marco Rubio moment. I was taking a sip of water. Sorry.
Taking
about
a big
that.
Gulp? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, my wife is a Russian Muslim, so we go to Turkey a lot, Muslim country. My personal experience, and I realize, you know, this is just me, but they're all just, you know, wonderful people. Where are you from? I'm from the United States. I love America. I want to go there. Well, maybe they're trying to get to know me so they can become a, you know, an Al-Qaeda mole.
Right. Really? Right. In Turkey? Interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, they're a very progressive country. You know, women don't have to wear the hijab. That's just one country. I meet people from Iran there. Oh, you're from America? You know, and we talk. And so I realize we're not going to all hold hands and skip merrily through the tulips. Pakistan doesn't care for us a lot. There's a lot of extremism. But to cast a blanket over the whole, you know, Muslim world is just so ridiculous. And I speak a little bit of Russian. I want to compliment you on your pronunciation of Zubaldot. That's exactly how you say it.
I think you're just messing with me. But all right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, you know, I think it's roughly translated. I'm an intermediate speaker, but I think it's crazy woman who's lost all grasp on reality.
That's right. Zubaldot. That's what that means. In
sure.
That
was funny.
Ozzy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ozzy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just think in all this discussion about religion and violence, Christianity just gets a huge pass by the corporate media. I mean, two cases. George Bush, a born-again Christian, who publicly stated to everybody that he speaks to God, that God guides him in his decisions, invades a Muslim country, causing the death of millions of people, and no one mentions, oh, maybe Christianity played a role in this.
True, well, second case, yeah, I mean, he uses the word crusade. He had that general, what's his name, Boynkin, who,
right. And Jacques Chirac mentioned his biography that when he was trying to convince Jacques Chirac, the French president, that he mentioned that God, this is God's work, etc. So why does Christianity not even play a role in the fact that, you know, we invaded Iraq. And secondly, Chung Cho, the Virginia Tech assailant, killed 33 people. He was avowedly Christian. His entire family was avowedly Christian. He mentioned Jesus and Moses in the videotapes before killing people. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying that Christianity is bad. I'm saying that if you're going to attack Islam all the time on these violent acts, you've got to take into account other religious motivations as well.
Right. I mean, that was my point, that people have misused, you know, a religion for violent purposes for, you know, obviously eons.
Exactly.
Deb in California, her husband is a Saudi, ex-husband. Hey, Deb.
Hey, sweetie.
Hi.
Yeah, I want to make sure my husband doesn't get mad at me. It was my ex-husband spent years as a child in Saudi Arabia reading American history and, you know, checking out everything to do with America. He dreamt of being an American. He was a better American than I was at the time when I was in my 20s. I didn't know a lot of the things that he knew because Americans seem to not be paying attention to actuality. It seems as though because in the, you know, the dumbing down of the American public when the, you know, when the schools all of a sudden weren't, say in the state of California in the late 1970s, they decided, oh, we're not going to pay our property taxes. We're not going to fund the schools. And that was so that they could get everybody to be stupid enough to vote Republican.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's this stupid thing where Americans need to educate themselves. And I mean us. I mean me. When I say something, there are times when Americans really need to get that we're the luckiest people in the world, even though our government's a little bit awry. It's broken.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, I hear you. All good points. All right. Sue in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, my point is, I just wanted to say about what Jim said about the Shiite Muslims, and it's a point I've heard him make a few times, and I usually agree with everything you say, Jim, but it's, as a Shiite Muslim myself, I have to correct you on something. It's not this extremism that's coming out of the religion. It doesn't come out from the Shiite. It's from the Sunni sect and a specific part of the Sunni sect, which are the Wahhabi Salafis.
Yeah.
They originated in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda uses that they fill in a vacuum, basically. Like everybody's been saying before me, it stems from economics and the conditions they live in. And in that region of the world, people, you know, religion is so important to them. So if they have somebody telling them that your religion is telling you to act this way towards, you know, the West, this is what they cling to because they have nothing else.
Right.
And more Muslims have been killed by Al-Qaeda and the Wahhabis and the Salafis than any other people. I mean, I come from, my family comes from Lebanon. We get, you know, a lot of our news from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And if what's going on right now in Lebanon, in Syria, in Egypt, all of these Wahhabi Salafis are moving in and causing problems, and they're backed by Saudi Arabia. And all these 9/11 and what's been happening doesn't come from the Shiites. The Shiites were oppressed under Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, Sue, thank
and
you.
And what
that.
You have right now in Syria is you have the Al-Qaeda in Iraq moving in, and I mean, I know Assad, say what you will about him, but he's not a religious figure, and neither was Mubarak.
Yeah,
but now you have. So they take advantage of the religion. So
No, absolutely. All good points. Well, that was, you know, again, part of what we were saying during Iraq is George Bush didn't even know the difference between Sunni and Shiites. That's how little understanding he had of that part of the world.
People who were applauding when Saddam's statue was toppled were the Shia. They
exactly.
Shia songs lauding their leaders. And we just interpreted it as, yay, America, look what we did.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot more complicated than that.
I will say the Wahhabi make great peas. Anyway, my point is, they're spicy. Okay, Jeff, would you like the not-so-fun facts? Jeff writes, staff, since President Bush is opening his presidential library, this is a good time to review the wonderful things he accomplished as president.
Mm.
When he took office, the Federal Reserve warned the growing budget surplus might pay off our national debt too quickly. President Bush solved that problem by wiping out the surplus and creating a huge deficit. He presided over the two longest wars in our nation's history, the two worst economic recessions since the Great Depression, the worst terrorist attack in history, the two worst intelligence failures in our country's history, and an increase of 5 million people living in poverty. Bush accomplished in 8 years what it took centuries to do. It took over 200 years for 42 presidents to run up $5 trillion in national debt. Bush doubled that in only 8 years. When Bush took office, gun sales were declining along with the crime rate, threatening many gun industry jobs. After Bush weakened gun laws and let the assault weapons ban expire, gun crime began to rise for the first time in 10 years. Gun sales increasing, the gun industry thriving again. Price of gas, $1.59 a gallon. ExxonMobil, when he took office, struggled by with only $7.9 billion a year in profits. After Bush became president, gas rose to $4.14 a gallon. ExxonMobil enjoyed $36 billion in profits. Let's say it together.
Thank you, President Bush.
Thank you, President Bush. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour, Darren, Chris from Glee coming up in just a couple of minutes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been talking about the latest out of the Boston bombing case. Johar, I guess I'm going with that now.
Johar.
Is out of the hospital and into prison. Ray Kelly, New York City Police Commissioner.
The two brothers had at their disposal six improvised explosive devices. We don't know if those visits were related in any way to what he described as the brother's spontaneous decision to target Times Square.
Yeah, he had said yesterday they just were coming to New York to party. Remember, he, that's what he originally told investigators. That's what he first told them. But under later questioning, said they had changed their plans on the fly and intended a second attack, except they didn't have enough gas.
They had corn nuts, but not enough gas.
Well, that certainly is a well-planned organization. Okay, their mother, Zubidat. insisted from Russia once again that her sons were innocent, and they were not. She said, "I'm sure my kids were not involved in anything." All right.
Well, yeah, she also said that it was like a play with paint instead of blood.
Oh, that's right. That's what she said, that it was staged. It wasn't even real.
Zubidat.
Right, there were actors, and it was fake.
I'm sure.
I'm telling you, there is a producer listening right now in Hollywood that is working on Desperate Housewives of Dagestan. Is that where she is?
Real Housewives of...
Any of the stands. Right.
Of Turkmenistan.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
She's not in Turkmenistan.
Oh.
Dagestan.
Laurelstan.
Hardystan. No. Representative Peter King yesterday.
The fact that it apparently was cut short of 16 hours means there's an awful lot of information that could have been obtained.
What is he talking about?
The interrogation.
Oh, that they finally...
They were interrogated for 16 hours, and they got a lot of information during that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but then they read him Miranda rights, and he stopped talking, is what he's referring to.
Yeah.
Is he saying 16 hours wasn't enough?
He's saying that they got a lot of information in that 16 hours, but they probably can't use it.
They have so much other stuff, and I'm telling you that...
I know.
If that doesn't fall under the public safety exception, I don't know what does. Well-known Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
And I blame the administration for not having situational awareness and writing this off as to knock off jihadists. Bin Laden may be dead, but radical Islam is alive and well.
Really? Oh, my God. He just tested every opportunity to criticize the president. That's all that's about. All right, look, we have a big star. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Darren, from all of this. Darren Criss from Glee, who we saw at the inauguration, joins us now. Hey, Darren.
Oh, hello. Jeez, what a morose kind of territory to come out of.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, death and mayhem.
All right.
And now here's Darren Criss from Glee.
Radical Islamists, and here's Darren. What?
Here's radical singer Darren Criss. We were telling the story. I don't know if you remember this, but we saw you in the green inaugural ball, and you were having trouble getting in, and we had to tell the event organizer, "Don't you know who that is?" And there you were.
I always say the best way to not get into somewhere is to assume anybody knows you and gives a shit.
All right. Okay. Now, yes. Darren, you're kicking off your tour, which is very exciting. 16 cities. It's entitled Listen Up.
Yeah. It's a chance for me to play a variety of new tunes and get new songs out there that anybody who's followed me from before Glee or after Glee or however way they are interested in my music. I've been in the studio for a while now. I consider this album that I'm making, you know, 26 years in the making. And you make all this guesswork in studios and in your office and in my studio. I'm always writing different things, and there's a separation between, you know, the people who are supporting you and who are interested in what you're doing and kind of this solo experiment behind closed doors. And I was thinking, you know what, I have my summer break essentially, because I feel like a high school student. You know, I have my actual, you know, break from Glee, which is like being, you know, on summer vacation. I was like, I just want to put this on the road and really get a real reaction and a real vibe from people and just experience live performance again, because, you know, I come from the world of live performance, and being on camera or on YouTube, it separates people. You know, you interact with people via Twitter or via things that are separate, but I just want to be in a room with people and figure it out for myself. So it's a chance for me to connect with those guys, and I couldn't be more excited. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. So
Yeah.
Bring it on.
You kick it off in May 29th in your hometown of San Francisco, all the way through June 30th in Silver Spring, Maryland. You know, I saw you live out here at the Obama LGBT fundraiser, and you were fabulous.
Thank you. That was pretty nerve-wracking, man. Talk about it. That was probably one of the most nervous I've ever been. Anytime you're playing for, you know, the president.
Yes.
Whoever, really. I mean, come on. We all know how this feels, playing for the president. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah. When POTUS is in the house, it's always a little nerve-wracking.
That's pretty crazy. So, I appreciate that. That was, I mean, that's a little different. I've been lucky. You know, it's a blessing and a curse, because I'm such a fan of eclecticism and just being as varied as possible. You know, I'll play nicer concert venues, and I'll be in a suit and tie, and like that event, I'll play, you know, the jazz standards. But if I'm playing the Troubadour and I'm jeans and a T-shirt, and, you know, you're playing the rock tune, it's a completely different set of rules. So this tour will be a little varied, but it'll mostly be a little less suit and tie, a little more rock and roll. So hopefully people can get down with that as well.
Darren, you were really active in the Obama campaign. I remember you out there on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I mean, in my very limited way, in whatever limited sort of Hollywood actor land can provide, I guess the singing at the fundraisers counts as that, then sure, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, what's happening in terms of marriage equality, in terms of gay rights in general. I mean, obviously shows like yours, like Glee, have been cited as part of what's, you know, have made that happen so quickly. Are you nervous? Are you excited about what's going to happen at the Supreme Court?
I think like anybody who stands sort of behind my sort of personal mores, I think it is exciting and it is nerve-wracking, like anything when you have a big decision like that coming up. But I think it's a good time for it. I think it's about time, but it's also a, you know, usually when things like that go to the Supreme Court, if it's a little premature, you go, oh, well, you know, that's never going to work. But there is, you know, a huge, shift in our sort of, public consciousness. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I'm not going to flatter myself because I'm just a puppet on the show, but, you know, things like Glee and a lot of forces in culture, which are, you know, normalizing a lot of things. I don't think I don't look at Glee or a lot of the other programs of television or the media or in films. You know, I don't think of it as an agenda thing so much as a normalizing agent for getting into people's heads that, you know, things can be a certain way without it being any kind of controversy. You know, I think when people are rooting for Kurt and Blaine, it's not because it happens to be a young gay teen relationship. I think they're rooting for Kurt and Blaine because they just like both people and they want them to be together just the same as they did, you know, Ross and Rachel. So, I think it's a pretty cool time.
I like that.
Long answer to a very simple question.
I like that. You are the gay Ross and Rachel.
I'll take it. We're unafraid.
Hey, and you have a film debut coming up this summer, Girl Most Likely, with Kristen Wiig, Annette Bening, and Matt Dillon.
My God! Just hearing you say that, it's just such a trip. That was so wonderful to work with them. I'm in the kind of music world, and you know, I've gotten to do. I'm knocking on it right now. It's pretty amazing. I've done Broadway. I've done a lot of things that are in the music performance land, and I am a musician. But I always set out to be an actor. I never really thought I would be able to do that. Any music stuff was going to be on the side. And as a kid growing up, all I wanted to do was doing, you know, films or television or theater with actors that I really, really admire. That's kind of the goal for anybody in any field. You want to work with people you really respect. And, you know, people like Annette Bening and Matt Dillon and obviously Kristen Wiig is just, I would have been happy with just one of those things, all three of them. So I'm really excited. It's a really cute film. It comes out in July. And so between that and the tour, this summer is just, it's just Christmas for me. I can't wait.
It is. Christmas has come early. Darren, what a pleasure to talk to you again. And if you need help getting into another fundraiser, let me know. I'm happy to.
I will be looking for you.
All right. Thanks, Darren. Talk to you soon. There he goes. Yeah, he was. We were the contingent from Hollywood. We were like, don't you know who that is? I mean, he's like at the table like the rest of us. Is my name on the thing? And it was not.
Aw.
He is delightful. All right. Let's go to, where is Frank in San Francisco. Hello, Frank.
Hey, loving the show. I love that that clip, that W clip you ran, where he was talking about liberty and we're free to, have our own opinions. That wasn't so. Look at all the careers that were crushed by Cheney, Oberon, Bill Maher. The list goes on and on of all the careers that were just trampled on Valerie Plame. I mean, how could he? He's a pathological liar. I mean, it's just the man lies.
Yeah, that's right. Valerie Plame didn't have the freedom to continue to be a CIA agent, did she?
Thank you. Love you guys so much. I talk about you on my public access show all the time.
Fabulous.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
Fabulous.
What's your public access show?
It's called Psychic Frank. It's on the 2nd and the 4th Thursday on BAVAC, Bay Area Video Coalition.
Yeah.
www.bavac.com.
You're a psychic?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
People call in. It's a live call-in show. People call in. I do the tarot cards.
Wow.
It's going on 4 years.
Do you see
now.
Anything in my future at all? Anything good? Anything?
I'll pick a card for you right now.
Anything? Oh, yeah, great. Perfect.
Let me see what I get. Can I have just the day and month of your birth?
9/29.
Oh, 11. This last year was rough. This is your, 2013 is 6. In numerology, we reduce things to one digit. So we had that 6 to 2, and we get 8. So things go in 9-year cycles. This is your money, your power year, your year to think big. Actually, America's day and month, July 4th, is 11, just like you. And it's a power year for America. That's why Obama's got to think big, you know? Okay, thanks.
Wow. Awesome. All right, thank you, Frank.
Wow,
thank
cool.
you, Psychic Frank. Cool. Awesome. Last year was a rough year, which year isn't for me. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Steffi.
Mm-hmm.
Filling the void in Nick Kilder's song.
That's right.
Thank you. 20 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This is a death of comedy story because the sorority email writer has resigned, as we've mentioned earlier.
We need a...
Yes, thank you. Guilty of caring too much, according to Gawker. Delta Gamma is once again a safe space for boners. 1 week after a foul-mouthed crash course in social etiquette put the sorority on the... map. Delta Gamma Brass have decided the now infamous University of Maryland email was horrible. I repeat, horrible PR for that chapter. They've just accepted the resignation of its author.
Oh.
A post on the sorority's official Facebook page referred to the email as highly inappropriate and unacceptable, adding it should not be depicted in any way as standard or routine, because normally Delta Gamma girls are free to literally be so awkward at Greek Week events, and boy are they, with impunity. What the world holds next for the junior who wrote the email is unknown. As I mentioned earlier, the only thing we can say for certain is that her enthusiastic management skills ensure she will be infinitely more successful than the stupid she now leaves behind.
A moment of silence.
I smell reality show.
Yep.
Her and Zubeldop.
And AJ Clementi.
Right? F-bomb, S-bomb guy.
Yeah.
That would be a show. That's probably basic cable. Let's go to Brett in Louisiana. Hi, Brett.
How are you guys this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Two quick things. Number one, I wanted to thank you for your hospitality this week. While I've been on vacation, I've enjoyed watching your show.
Thank you.
And I got to get back to work next week, though.
Mm.
as I was listening this morning, you know, we had a lot of callers. Somebody calls in and says something about the Muslim terrorist, and then your next call is, well, you got Christian terrorists too. And I think that's part of our problem as a country is we don't want to put the responsibility on the individual, and everybody's too quick to throw somebody in the box, whether it's the gay straight debate, whether it's the Christian Muslim. I mean, we got terrorists and crazy people all over the place, you know, environmental people killing people. The guy the other day that tried going into the Family Research Council with 100 rounds of ammunition to kill people. It's the individual. And too many times in our country, we put ourselves in a box and we don't speak out against people in our own box. You know, I, for one, am the first to slam a conservative like David Vitter or Mark Sanford or somebody like that in my party when they do something idiotic. And I think we need to look more as individual behavior instead of trying to tie it to a group. Because
I attack the wiener. I attack the wiener in my box, my particular, you know, political box. Anthony Weiner.
Oh, that. Right.
Yeah. Funnest. Right. And his... I'm just saying, I did.
And his picadillos.
Right, exactly. We'll just go with that.
Yes. No wonder you can't find a man.
Exactly. Okay. Yesterday was George Bush Library Day, as we all know.
Yeah.
Here he is, yes.
The political winds blow left and right. Polls rise and fall. Supporters come and go. But in the end, leaders are defined by the convictions they hold.
Right.
And my deepest conviction... The guiding principle of the administration is that the United States of America must strive to expand the reach of freedom.
Freedom. Great mark. George Bush.
I believe that freedom is a gift from God.
Freedom. Great mark.
And the hope of every human heart.
You know what my deepest conviction is? That you will go down as the worst president in history.
There might have been someone worse, but it'd take a lot of research. Millard Fillmore, maybe.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. What did he do?
Polk. Who knows? George W. Bush. Yeah.
Whatever challenges come before us, I will always believe our nation's best days lie ahead.
Yeah, well.
Now that you're not in office anymore, that could be true. We're still digging out, but, you know.
I imagine touring the Bush Library is kind of like going on the Hershey's World of Chocolate ride in Pennsylvania, kind of mixed with a little Mr. Toad.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the going to hell part, that's, yeah, that's.
I missed that maniacal little giggle, didn't you?
Uh-huh. Freedom. Freedom in our lands. Freedom to blow stuff up.
Laura. Laura in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Laura.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope I won't be dragged through the mud too much for this. But I have compassion for the parents of the bombing suspects. I feel like when I heard that Tamberlain called his mom in his last moments and told her that he loved her, it just broke my heart. I feel that pathological people, they can hide their true selves even from those that they're closest to, and they can be very persuasive.
Well,
you know,
Laura, I on a human level, I get what you're saying, but I also have to say, I don't think we know the whole story yet. It sounds like there's been some stories about they don't know who radicalized who, because she's expressed some kind of wacky views as well.
Yeah, she has had some kind of far out.
I'm just saying, I don't know. You end up with two terrorist bombers as children. I think something has gone awry in the parenting, don't you?
Yeah, well, and you know that they've been apart for so long too. And I'm not trying to defend them, you know. And
right.
She may very well have had something to do with it, but I feel that you know eventually they'll either accept that their son committed this atrocious act, you know,
well,
and try to
right.
help make amends,
and Laura,
or they'll stay in denial.
I get what you're saying. I've gotten a couple of hate letters for you know mocking her or whatever, but I mean, do I have the same sympathy for her that I do for the mother of the 8-year-old that got blown up? No, I don't.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I don't either, but I have a son that screwed up big time in the past, and I just, you know, I want to believe the best. And,
I see your
you
point.
Know, hopefully they don't find out that she, you know, was kind of inspiring to them in that way. So.
Yeah. He didn't screw up that bad, right, Laura?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks for calling. I'm just saying screwing up, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's a sliding scale.
Missed the mortgage payments,
yeah.
You know, whatever. Kevin in D.C., his credit score is bad. Oh, okay. Kevin in D.C.
Good morning, Lovely.
Hey, honey. 30 seconds. Go.
Oh, thanks a lot. If any black person can tell you, we're often asked to explain why one of us does something when we do some stupid crap.
Right.
So I'm asking you all, why are we spending any time honoring Bush for any reason, for any length of time?
Oh, George W. Bush?
Yeah, what the heck? He's anyone that tells you we have a liberal media, this is proof number 1,453 of why that's crap. There's no way this guy should be featured except for as an example of the worst president ever.
Yeah, people were going out of their way to say nice things on George Bush Library Day.
Yeah.
Whatever. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You tell me you are a super mega ultra lightning babe, that's all right with me. I'm good.
34 minutes okay. After the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jill in Ithaca on the Boston Bombers. Hello, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congressman Peter King,
yes,
who happens to be from Long Island, New York, is definitely anti-Muslim, and, you know, he's proved it time and time again. And what he was saying about the 16-hour interrogation, he was upset that Johar was read his Miranda rights. That's what he was upset about.
Oh, because he was wanting enemy combatant status for him.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And Alan Colmes happens to have a book out, and he mentions Peter King in it, and this guy has been like the mosque in New York City. He's mm-hmm. been,
yeah,
you know, horrible about that. He's just
right.
I have to use the word racist. I can't help it.
Yes, because
and,
he does not want a sacred Burlington coat factory defiled in that way.
Exactly. And can I speak to Jim for a
yes,
moment?
Yes,
Jim, it's for you.
Hey, Jim, I know they refer to you as a conspiracy snossage, but you and I are on the same page about 9/11,
yeah,
and I'd like to change it to reality poutine. I don't know if you've ever had Canadian poutine, but it's great stuff. So now you're my reality poutine.
Okay. All right. Hey, speaking of conspiracies, by the way, remember we were talking about this Dave Weigel piece in Slate? He wrote, you know, right on the night of the bombing, he said, unlike other tragedies and major crimes that have fired the imaginations of conspiracy mongers, this one boasted too much reality-based evidence, especially photographic and video evidence, to give much encouragement to nutballs and magical thinkers.
Yes, although there is one picture of a guy with a backpack which disappears and is found again exploded, and the guy's walking away. And
see, he'd be in a heated conversation with Zubeldat at some point. He and Orly Tate, remember, they bonded in the elevator after she was in here last time.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Uh-huh.
That was weird.
Her theory is it was staged, right? It was actors and stuff.
No.
Uh-huh.
I get
that's what she said, yes.
Zubeldat.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. This piece, where is this piece? Daily Beast. In the 10 days since the lethal explosion, strange and alarming hypotheses have been set on the web like a swarm of locusts. The Boston bombing was staged by the government. Michelle Obama plotted with a Saudi national. Tamerlan Tsarnaev was taken naked and alive.
Well, I've
then killed by authorities
to that effect.
Before he could... No, there are not, Jim.
Maybe it was faked, but it sure looks like it.
And not everything on the internet is real.
Yes, for instance, perhaps particularly on Alex Jones and Glenn Beck's websites, many of the Boston narratives fall under the category false flag. That's what they're going with, Glenn Beck and Alex. A term derived from a naval warfare tactic whereby a ship flies the flag of its foe to mount a surprise attack on enemy vessels. In false flag theories about the Boston bombings, what looks to be credulous innocence, such as the FBI and the cops, looks like a criminal act of terrorism. In reality, a sinister clandestine operation by the government to sow panic among the citizenry and therefore slash freedoms, declare martial law, tighten the government's iron grip on everyday existence. Oh, Stella Tremblay.
And she's with?
Former Republican state legislator from New Hampshire.
Please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. She posted on Glenn Beck's Facebook wall. The Boston Marathon was a black ops terrorist attack. One suspect killed, the other one will be two before they even have a chance to speak. Drones and now terrorist attacks by our own government. Sad day, but a wake-up call.
So already she's wrong because the other guy has spoken.
Right.
He's not dead.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Well,
right.
Communicated via computer.
Right.
But maybe he has spoken now.
He spoke one word. He said,
No.
Yes,
He's doing Marcel Marceau from Silent Movie.
No. He was walking down in the basement. Exactly. By the way.
What?
Isn't that what mimes do? They walk downstairs.
Oh, that.
Thank
okay.
you. Okay.
Yes.
Behind a couch.
Right.
Yes. In a box.
Against the wind.
No.
While pulling a rope.
Yeah.
All right. Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, Ms. Miller?
Good.
Thomas here. My English is a little screwed up. I'm Polish immigrant. I love your show. I've listened for the last 2 years.
Thank you.
And I'm just at YouTube debate last 3 weeks of Mr. Lawrence Krauss, your astrophysicist, Christopher Hitchens, late Christopher Hitchens, and
yes.
Mr. Richard Dawkins debating and moving on cars in a very civilized way. And I do have to agree with these three gentlemen that Muslim religion went the wrong way last 2 years. I do not agree that we should not put Muslim religion under discussion.
Right.
And it's the first time I'm calling a radio show. I could do it in Russian accent. If you want
okay.
me to, three things.
Thomas, unfortunately, it's not the accent. It's your phone that is crappy. And I apologize, but I can barely hear what you're saying.
Sounds like it's... encased in cotton balls or something.
Exactly. Matt in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, the only thing that can come out of a library is good. So although it's George W.'s library, it's good that there's a library. I do like how our country kind of honors ex-presidents despite their horrible record.
It
kind of puts aside the politics. As much bad as he did, it's good. You know, now he's a retired guy, you know, and he was our leader. And I didn't like his presidency, but I do like how we respect them for their time. You know, at the end of the job, everybody, you know.
I wish we'd had less time with George W. Bush, frankly, but okay.
And, you know, the libraries are built with private funds. So,
yes,
you know,
okay.
If somebody liked him enough to donate enough to
the president,
build the library.
Things, nice things.
He doesn't put on any pretenses?
No.
He takes his job seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. He is a good man.
Well.
War criminal.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
thank
of course.
God.
He
the
also
only,
praised Reagan during the first campaign.
The only good news out of yesterday is Barbara Bush said there'll be we've had enough Bushes. She was asked about Jimmy. Is it on the Today
Smart
Show?
One. Should
she
have
said
had.
we've had enough Bushes. She also has Bush fatigue.
Yes. And she's around him all day long.
Right, right. And no wonder.
Yeah.
Does she own a Bushmaster?
She said he's by far the best qualified man, but no, I really don't think. I think it's a great country. There's a lot of great families. It's just not four families or whatever. There are other people out there that are very qualified. We've had enough Bushes. To which I say.
Two was more than enough.
Two incredibly mediocre presidents came out of that family so far.
Well, that's giving him a...
I know I'm damning with faint praise.
Well, you're giving him a promotion by calling him mediocre.
Bill Clinton yesterday.
A couple of times a year in his second term, George Bush would call me just to talk politics. And a chill went up and down my spine when Laura said that all their records were digitized. Dear God, I hope there's no record of those conversations in this vast and beautiful building.
Okay, and Bush 41, this was very touching, actually, because, I mean, he has been very, very ill, and so it was very brief, and he
stood up and he got
out of his wheelchair. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great pleasure to be here and to honor our son, our oldest son, and this is very special for Barbara and me.
Yeah, when you just said two mediocre presidents, he was, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's only because of how bad Bush Jr. was that he, to me, doesn't even seem like he's, when they talk about this is not Goldwater's party anymore or Reagan's party, I mean, it's not George H.W. Bush's party either.
Yeah, but when you think of great or crappy presidents, you don't think of Bush 41, you just don't think of him at all. That's what I mean by mediocre.
Jimmy Carter, who was always shunned at these events.
I'm filled with admiration for you and deep gratitude for you about the great contributions you've made to the most needy people on earth. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have you ever seen the pictures? He's
also, thank you for making my presidency look good.
basically.
Yeah, George Bush did, you know, do a lot for AIDS in Africa.
And yes, he did do that. You're
so
right.
That's what Jimmy Carter was thanking him for.
Yes. And
so he did do something.
Bush said he would not comment on same-sex marriage, although he's commented on a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he said, I'm not going to weigh in on these issues. You know, I've made the decision to get off the stage, and so I'm off the stage. Except he talks about, you know, security and immigration reform and other stuff. But, okay. Jim in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I have a problem. It's not about being polite to an ex-president and politics. It's a matter of him being a war criminal. And we look at what Nixon did and what Reagan did and what W did, and the crimes keep on getting worse proportionally, and our response gets less.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, it's interesting. Even on TV, it's just there really is that thing about, oh, it's a day of niceties. And, you know, I think history will be clear on all of that. But
you don't go to the opening of a presidential library to bash who's
been. I think it would have been an excellent place for The Hague to be able to locate him and take him where he belongs.
Wait a minute, what's that helicopter doing up there?
And ratings magic for TV.
A tractor beam? I thought that was only in science fiction movies. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. All right. President Obama also went to the memorial for the firefighters in Texas.
We may not all live here in Texas, but we're neighbors, too. We're Americans, too. And we stand with you, and we do not forget. And we'll be there even after the cameras leave.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi.
Minutes after the hour. Comedian Richard Belzer coming up at the top of the hour.
Someone just tweeted you. Dan in Kentucky thinks you're very pretty, but he's afraid you're going to have back problems if you keep slouching in your chair.
Oh, pardon me. There it is. It's my Catholic school posture's back.
There you go.
Thank you for that. 49 minutes after the hour. Dave in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks.
Hi, go ahead.
Question. Have they discovered where the brothers Kasparov got their guns?
Kasparov. I don't know. I think they've been more focused on the bombs, but good question. By the way, you know, there's always this talk about there was another study that came out about guns stopping violent people with guns.
Yep.
Stopping violence sort of almost never. How about this story?
Okay.
Mormon bishop uses samurai sword to prevent mugging. How about that?
Wow.
It's another idea.
There's so much odd about just that headline.
Right? When his son informed him early yesterday morning that a female neighbor was being attacked, Kent Hendricks, a Mormon bishop from Utah, who moonlights as a martial arts instructor, reached for his weapon of choice, 29-inch high carbon steel samurai sword.
Yikes.
He quickly drew his sword and ordered the man to get on the ground. He said his eyes got as big as saucers. He kind of gasped and jumped back. He's probably never had anyone draw a sword on him before. Guy's arrested. Nobody hurt. Nobody killed.
Sweet.
No guns involved.
It's kind of hard to carry a concealed samurai sword.
Yeah, there's really nowhere.
I don't know why I just pictured John Belushi. What the? Can I have a cheeseburger? Okay. What's best for comedy? There is Zubeldot. For my money, though, Rice and Guys.
Right.
Rice and Guys.
Rice and Roni.
There are so many sitcom pitch meetings going on in
Hollywood
this week.
The Mississippi Treat.
Yeah. Zubeldot and Rice and Guys. This has got to be. It's like a, you know, Hatfield and McCoy's kind of.
only wacky.
WTF, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Seriously? This is Paul Kevin Curtis and Jay Everett. Dutchke, is that his name? Dutchke?
Dutchke. Let's go with Dutchke.
Dutchke. It's like a buddy cop thing, like a Turner and Hooch. Curtis and Dutchke.
10-speed and brown shoe.
Right. Epic feud and rice and letters. This from the Daily Beast, who has quite a breakdown on what's happening.
Yeah.
In case you want to know. It's been quite a week here in Tupelo, but with the arrest last week of 45-year-old Elvis impersonator on suspicion of sending letters laced with ricin to President Obama, Senator Roger Wicker, and a local judge, Sadie Holland. Then came the stunning announcement Tuesday that Paul Kevin Curtis was free and head back to Heartbreak Hotel and shake his exonerated pelvis all over Mississippi again.
Uh-huh.
Then news broke that another man, 41-year-old blues singer, karate master, insurance salesman, Mensa member, accused child molester.
What?
What? Huh?
There's that. And one-time GOP candidate for the Mississippi House of Representatives named Everett Dutschke had become
Republican
the focus
too.
Of course. Of the investigation. Then story spread. This Curtis fella and this Dutchke fella had it out for each other. We're trading nasty emails about body parts alleged found at the hospital and fraudulent Mensa memberships and snarky comments left on each other's YouTube pages about all of that. Here are some of the fun facts. Curtis, not just an Elvis impersonator. His longtime friend wants us to know he also does a mean Conway Twitty, Prince, and Alan Jackson.
Well.
Wow. Oh, and also Randy Travis.
Conway Twitty, but there's a,
right.
there's a after, big market for that.
After being freed, Paul Kevin Curtis offered his lawyer a foot rub.
Oh, okay.
What? In lieu of payment?
I'm not really certain. He is a fiction writer, Elvis impersonator, karate master. The fiction writing based on a true story, according to him, based on when he's... This is the body part thing.
Okay.
When he worked at a hospital in North Mississippi, one day discovered a bunch of body parts strewn about, even a severed head, he later wrote.
Uh-huh.
He blew the whistle on what he determined was an underhand scheme to sell body parts. The karate part would not have been so bad if not for the toxic, bizarre relationship Curtis eventually found himself in with the owner of the studio, the said J. Everett Dutschke. Dutschke. By his own description on his MySpace page.
MySpace?
Wow.
Right
MySpace
there.
Page?
Right there. Oddling. Okay.
Dutschke. I guess Facebook hasn't made it to Mississippi yet.
Got this new thing called MySpace. Dutschke once wanted to specialize in psychiatric nursing, but wound up in radio.
Well, that's pretty much
everyone's story.
Yeah.
Still end up in a padded room talking to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then the insurance business. He's a proud member of Mensa in a rock band. We covered this yesterday called Dusty and the Robo Drum that includes tons of lasers.
Oh, wow.
January, he was arrested on charges of molesting a 7-year-old girl at his Taekwondo studio.
No.
He's pled not guilty.
Yikes.
He is convinced Curtis is not really a Mensa member. The two exchanged several heated emails about that. That made Everett so mad, he just came apart. He said,
sounds like he needs just to pick the hill that he's going to die on and not...
Right. He's a little scattered
yes,
in his grievances.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He spells it Mesna, which is kind of a clue that maybe he's not...
He apparently threatened to beat up Paul Kevin Curtis over that, over the... Okay.
Mm.
As you mentioned, Dutschke, Republican. Curtis is a Democrat. But the war between the two of them started with the body parts thing. Curtis tried to convince Dutschke that he ought to write about the hospital's body parts scheme. Dutschke refused. Some words were exchanged. The two sparred over music, in addition. Curtis said Dutschke sent him an email that read, I've created a band called Robodrum, and we're going to throw you off the national circuit. The two have gotten along rather foully ever since then, with a string of emails back and forth that consisted of, you're a dumbass, according to Curtis's attorney.
Spelled Y-O-U-R?
Why is so much effort being put forth on each side? I don't get it.
The FBI came knocking at his ex's, Laura Curtis's, door last week. She was convinced of two things, her ex-husband's innocence and that he was framed. Kevin Curtis is nowhere near smart enough to figure out how to make rice, and she tells the Daily Beast. Kevin would blow up half of Mississippi trying to make something like that, she said. Okay, so that's
make billions of dollars of improvement.
Stop it, Jim. Tragedy time.
Tragedy and time have not met.
Oh, my God. Seriously, who is getting a reality show first? Ricin Guys? Battling Ricin Guys or Zubeldot? Desperate Housewives of Dazikstan?
Real Housewives.
Right.
You're conflating
and
two shows.
Right.
Samurai sword wielding
right.
John Belushi impersonator.
Sorority Girl and
AJ
F-bomb, S-bomb news anchor.
Yeah.
So much this week. Where do you start? Sean in Sacramento. Hi, Sean. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, Mooks. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that I'm getting fatigued from all this fear that the Republicans want me to have over terrorism. I mean, I grew up during the height of the Cold War where, you know, I remember my fifth grade teacher telling us about how when he was a kid, they had to duck and cover under desks.
Right.
And they were doing civil defense drills. So I said, well, why don't we do that? And he goes, oh, he goes, the weapons are much more powerful now. If we ever have a war, you'll all be incinerated instantly.
Oh, good. Nice.
And yeah, exactly. I mean, we were, you know, I mean, what happened to this country that, you know, that these idiots that can do, you know, my freeways are more terrifying than these terrorists. My streets, the handguns in this country are more terrifying. Why are people so scared and spending billions and billions of dollars to deal with this when there's many more threats in our country than
right.
just, you know, some, you know, lone terrorist doing something? Not to say that
yep.
we don't have to be concerned about that,
right.
but they're, you know, on a statistical level, you look at it and you just think, you know, and like I said, if anyone has a memory, I'm sure some of these Republicans my age remember what it was like, and you thought, oh, great, you know, when I grow up, I'll be lucky if, you know, the Reds don't, you know, nuke us till we glow. You know,
right.
my fear is that someone like Sarah Palin's going to get into the executive office and then,
yeah.
you know,
well,
she'll think the big red button is, you know, right. speed dial to Jesus
Sean,
or something.
Right, no. right. But when you think about it,
that
the,
was
getting,
easy.
The getting under the desk, really not the best plan either.
No.
Those,
really? Those are some great desks.
Oh, boy, that's,
withstand
yeah.
a
yeah.
30 kiloton,
yeah.
whatever.
It's kind of like, no offense, but the seatbelts on the plane. Really? Really?
No, I think the sequester and food safety are much more dangerous than terrorism right now. Because,
yeah.
Yeah, it's that's one of the things they're cutting back on.
Yeah, thanks for giving the terrorist ideas, Jim. Okay. All right.
No, they don't have to do anything. We're doing it to ourselves.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. Just lack of regulation.
Exactly.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, you can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, that is a horrible headline, baby sold on Facebook, grandfather arrested after selling newborn grandson for $830.
Only $830?
That's awful, you can get $1,200, I've done it.
What kid did you have to sell?
None of your business.
Somebody else's,
whoa.
Obviously.
Whoa!
What? Hmm?
I kid, of course. Tim with a thank you letter. Staff, thanks a lot. I thought I was finally free of the experience of Yentl. Then you played the song yesterday. Now I cannot get it out of my head. I fear I will suffer another 20 years. Thanks a lot. You're welcome, Tim. My pleasure.
Papa, can you hear me? Yes, but I wish I hadn't.
All right. Oh, and it's Friday. So future husband Stack meets drunk Stack.
Okay.
Man allegedly shoots up public dock, poops pants.
In that order?
We need to ask Jackie. This is another edition of WTF Florida. He's an Orlando resident,
of course.
There's been a rash of this, by the way. He allegedly shot up a public dock and admitted to pooping in his pants while being questioned. He admitted to drink. Were you about to ask? Was there alcohol involved?
Was there alcohol involved?
Yes, yes, there was.
Or at least bath salts.
At least 8 boozy beverages. He admitted to drinking. All right. Oh, and then there's several other poop-related stories out of Florida that we'll get to in a moment. But in the meantime, guess who's here with bells on? It's Richard Belzer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My underwear is totally clean.
good.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming, honey. What a couple of weeks we've had in the news, huh? I mean, this has been, we were just going through ricin guys. Like, what does a person have to do to get in the news? The ricin guy is just getting no love.
Yeah, one guy framed another guy, right?
Yes, in Mississippi. It's an Elvis impersonator, you know, a body organ harvester conspiracy theorist.
Oh, boy.
yeah, but...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy. So what do you make of, there's obviously a lot of issues coming up around the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about it is many people don't believe what the government's saying. Even though the government might be telling the truth, from now, it's very hard for Americans, no matter what your IQ is, to believe the government anymore. So we're in a very strange psychological place as a nation. The system's broken. We can't trust our leaders. You know, we're setting the stage for something.
What makes you suspicious about the Boston thing in particular?
everything.
Well, for example, there was...
I'm just speculating, but it seems like they had several types of suspects ready to display and were deciding what would best serve their purposes. And, I think we're all surprised that it was Chechens, but if you study our recent history, you'll know that we've been using Chechen fighters in Iraq and using them as mercenaries and soldiers of fortune and as cutouts for things. So my name for those two guys is Lee and Harvey Oswaldovich.
Yeah.
You were hilarious.
They could be two set up guys. They don't seem like. It's very fishy.
Well, the Russian part of it is what I'm because we were saying that when Putin offered to help before we even knew who the suspects were, that was somewhat suspicious to me.
Well, since you're leaving Afghanistan, why don't you stop by in Chechnya and help me fight them?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But listen, being very closely, because, you know, the Russians say that because they want to let the world know that they know that these guys belong to America, not them. They don't want to be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting for the Russians to warn us about this guy, about a year ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago. That was them making it known that, hey, they're not ours. So if these guys ever do anything, don't say that they came here and we trained them because we didn't. The Russians, you know that we've tried to set them up in the past for things they've done. I'm not a big fan of the Russians, but they don't do every bad thing in the world. And they can't be used, constantly as a source of some mysterious Muslim cell that they, you know, Manchurian candidated and then send back here. Nobody's buying that.
Is this going to be, are you going to be doing another version of Dead Wrong, Straight Facts on the Country's Most Controversial Cover-Ups? Will this be an addendum?
Well, my current book is Hit List, which is 50 cases of mysterious deaths in and around the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of witnesses started just disappearing or dying of one strange suicides or one car accidents or karate chops.
Jim Bowers.
Jim Bowers is a big example. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if there's anyone left who doesn't think there was a conspiracy in the murder of President Kennedy, then my book. Well, then why would they murder 50 different people at various times when they're getting ready to testify? Or
coincidence.
Exactly. Meaningful coincidence. But beyond doubt that there was a conspiracy, because why would you kill all these people for all these years?
Speaking of gun violence, were you surprised the way this gun vote played out in the Senate?
I was so sickened by it. We're no longer a democracy. 90% of the people want something, and then a handful of people can stop it. That's not lost on a lot of people. And this whole notion of 60 votes is totally insane. It used to be 55, and then it was 57, and now it's 60, which, as we know, is almost impossible to do. So,
go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, the system's broken.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The Senate yesterday finally realized that maybe laying off air traffic controllers wasn't the best idea, so they're trying to at least fix that part of the sequester. I mean, it really is incredible.
They learned their lesson from Reagan when he fired air traffic controllers. People don't realize the amount of air accidents directly attributable to the firing because the press wasn't playing it that way.
Oh, coincidence.
A very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, but airplanes, what about poor people and health care and cops? And, you know, we always worry about, the rich traveler. Well, okay, that's fine. That's inconvenient. But what about people that need medical care or preschool, or they're getting hurt too? Soldiers, mm-hmm. their rate is the lowest it's ever been. You know, the sequester is... you know, starting to show its ugly head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Food safety is another victim of this.
Well,
who needs food safety?
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the scary. scariest part. Mm-hmm. That's why I live in France. I don't eat in America. I hold my breath.
Funny you're so thin. It is iBellies.com is the website, honey. Thanks for taking time for us this morning. It's always great to talk
to you. You guys are good. Thank you so much. The book is Hit List. It's available everywhere.
All right.
All right. Good. Awesome. Going to get it. Love you. See you, honey.
Take care.
Bye. Oh, there he is. All right. His phone's a little choppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. U.S. senators reached a tentative deal to fully fund air traffic controllers with a proposal that would end their furloughs. I mean, to try to just sort of fix these, like, the most egregious things piecemeal is really
insane.
Yeah. Patrick Smith in the Daily Beast writes, this is your pilot speaking. Screw the sequester. He writes, when I landed in L.A. this past Sunday, the terminal had the look and feel you'd expect during a snowstorm. Long, sullen faces, unusually heavy crowds, agent rushing around in an obvious state of fluster. Departure screens were striped with red. Canceled, canceled, canceled. But outside it was in the 60s and balmy. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the sequester. Mandatory budget cuts are kicking in. The FAA has been forced to furlough hundreds of controllers, up to 10% of its tower, en route to radar facility staff. This was LAX, but the story was similar at major airports nationwide. He writes, you know, what Belzer was just alluding to. He said, in a sense, this is just another depressing example of America's long slide into infrastructural obsolescence,
yep,
brought on by a government so mired in absurd partisan gridlock, the country's best interests are no longer important. Our roads, bridges, railways, public buildings are falling apart. If you question this portrayal, compare them for a moment, the airports in New York, Chicago, and L.A. with those of Seoul, Hong Kong, Munich, or Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me the government couldn't reallocate a tiny fraction of the mandated cuts, less than 2%? Keep something as critical as our air transport system running at a normal pace. I mean, it's just, again, it's like they're only doing stuff when they absolutely have to, when it gets to critical mass with the public, mm-hmm, you know? All right. Oh, I have more poop stories from Florida real quick.
Oh, boy.
I'm just wondering, WTF, Florida, seriously? Because this guy admitted to pooping his pants during interrogation, the guy that shot up a dock,
sure,
in Orlando. If you'll recall, we covered some of these stories. Last May, Cherie Barnes was arrested after allegedly threatening to take a on someone else's lawn.
I remember that.
In December, Brenda Schumann, you remember her, discovered her husband in bed with another woman. She responded by defecating and urinating on the floor. She said, I found him in bed with a naked chick. What was I supposed to do? Clearly, on the floor is the answer in Florida.
Okay. That's the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gregory Matthew Bruni, you remember him, in January, he got naked, climbed on the roof of a home, jumped down to attack one of the homeowners before running into the house to masturbate, poop in two different places on the floor, and then drink the contents of a spilled vacuum cleaner.
What? Drink the contents?
Well, it's one of those liquid...
the wet dry vac?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. WTF, Florida. Really?
Wow.
Really, people? Yeah,
okay.
All right. 17 minutes. Is it me? Almost everywhere. Why, the Ryson guys are going to move to Florida, aren't they?
Probably.
I
think I need to move to another country. There's something's terribly wrong.
Terribly wrong here. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Tanya in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, darling. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm okay. I know that everything we were talking about, the Brooklyn Boys and stuff, and that is important. But what's more important is what happened in Texas. You know, they keep talking about no EPA, no OSHA, that you want to cut regulation. I'm sure those people in Bangladesh wish they'd had some regulation. I think that we need to really focus on that, because it's terrible how they're messing with the American worker, with middle class folk. I just wish that we would, I know the Boston thing is important, but I wish we would push on that a little harder.
Well, you know, we talked about that, Tanya. You're right. There's been so much news, and that may have gotten buried, the fact that they had how many times? 1,350 times the amount of ammonium nitrate that they should have been allowed to have. And they
didn't even drink the water, Stephanie.
Yeah. And how many yards from a school were they and a nursing home? I mean, it's – and that's because, you're right, because it's state by state, and Texas has very little regulation like that.
But I'm sure the water was messed up way before now. They just paid attention now because the thing blew up. But I'm sure that they were dumping stuff in the water way before then. And it's just getting to the point where it's ridiculous, where they don't want to pay wages. When you saw Rick Perry in Chicago trying to bring another company down, that's because he wanted to pay low wages. He wants no regulation. And I just think that is just sad. He could have been our president at one point. And that's scary.
That would have been a giant oops there.
Yeah.
Danette in Georgia. Oof, you think W was bad. Danette in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.
Hi, yes. Rick Perry would have been, I don't even know. I there's no word.
Yeah.
What I was calling for is that everybody was running around saying that President Obama was an alarmist when he had FAA people behind him, and he was telling, you know, listing the different things that were going to affect the United States with the sequester. And all I have to say now, and I know you have the music cued, is meaner, meaner, meaner. Hello, everything is being affected, and everyone is being affected, and Obama is not an alarmist. The Republicans are mentally retarded. That's
All right. Okay. Get in the penalty box now. Okay.
You didn't play her music.
Oh, okay. By the way, what the is happening with Mark Sanford? He's getting a little wackadoodle, isn't he? I mean, he started out a little wackadoodle, but he has now published the personal phone numbers of anyone who has called his campaign.
Yeah.
He ran an ad. You remember we talked about this that revealed he had been charged with trespassing at his ex-wife's house.
Right.
In the ad, he included his personal cell phone number and told readers to call him if you have any further questions. After he published his own cell phone number, the House Majority PAC included his number in a fundraising email. Sanford responded by publishing a list of unredacted phone numbers from anybody who called his cell phone in an attempt to publicly shame them. But you see, he publicly published his own number. These people didn't agree to have their number, but he did it as sort of a, you know, tit-for-tat thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Sanford's campaign has grown increasingly erratic as polls show him trailing Democrat Elizabeth Colbert Bush, even in the strongly Republican district. Yeah, he's getting... And then he debated the cardboard Nancy Pelosi on the sidewalk the other
day. Which was really strange.
Whatever! Okay. Yeah, he's... all right. Hey, guess what? Another Republican's been caught on tape saying something embarrassing. Mother Jones strikes again!
Yay!
They've revealed yet another secret recorded video of a Republican, this time GOP pollster, Frank Luntz.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Remarking that Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and other right-wing talk radio hosts are problematic for the Republican Party's efforts to reach out to other demographics and to fight the polarization of politics. He said they get great ratings and they drive the message, and it's really problematic. Marco Rubio is getting his ass kicked. He's getting destroyed by Mark Levin, by Rush Limbaugh, and a few others. He's trying to find a legitimate, long-term, effective solution to immigration that isn't the traditional Republican approach, and talk radio is killing him.
Uh-oh.
Once again. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now I imagine Frank Luntz is going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Mark Levin. Wow, have you seen this story out of Arizona, where you're...
Where I spent 13 years of my life. Oof. What?
University of Arizona. You went to University of Arizona, yes?
No, Arizona State.
Arizona State.
Ugh.
Sorry. A student holding a sign that read, "You deserve rape," ignited outrage across campus Tuesday on the same day of his sexual assault awareness event. Dean Saxton, he's known as Brother Dean Samuel, regularly preaches on the UA Mall.
Mm.
He's a junior studying classics and religious studies, said his sermons meant to convey that if you dress like a whore or act like a whore, you're probably going to get raped. I think the girls that dress like that and act like it, they should realize they do have a partial responsibility because I believe they're pretty much asking for it.
Hmm.
That guy.
What, does he want...
He's a religious guy.
Yeah, does he want the U of A girls to wear, like, wool dresses when it's 110 degrees out?
I feel like releasing a sorority girl on his ass. She's got some free time now. I think she should write him a letter. All right. Wow. Some other weird stories from around the country. Ohio woman deemed too fat to tan has been denied a refund. A tanning salon in Ohio reportedly refused to refund a patron's money after turning her away for being too fat to tan.
Hmm.
Aloha Tanning...
I love the name of tanning places.
Aloha.
Aloha Tanning.
Mahalo. You are too fat. The Aloha Tanning Salon gladly accepted her $70 in exchange for a month-long tanning package, but when she came in to get a tan, she was told the stand-up bed was broken. Traditional beds were off-limits to customers weighing over 230 pounds. She said, okay, I'd like to get my money back then. And he said, no, we don't give refunds.
What?
I know.
Okay,
which is,
that's a problem.
That is a problem. Yeah. Just saying. Sorority girls got a lot of nasty letters to write. There's a lot of people that deserve them right now.
A lot of punting.
I wouldn't be allowed.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I wouldn't be allowed in that tanning bed.
Really? How much do you weigh?
235.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is impressive. All solid muscle.
Wow.
All right. Quick love.
And they wouldn't refund my money either.
No.
And I'd go ape dump on them.
Right. You would punt them into the next election
cycle.
Damn Skippy. Okay, love letter for us. Steph, the reason I'm writing is to let you know. This is Dave in Minneapolis. Reason I'm writing to let you know how important you are to me. I apologize if I sound like some freaky person who hopes you'll skid off the road in a snowstorm close to my house so I can tell you I'm your biggest fan. Since I live in Minnesota where it is still snowing, this is not entirely improbable.
Hmm.
He could go all, you know, cock-a-doodle-doody on me.
Yeah. Sure.
Does he own a sledgehammer?
Seriously, you kind of know how show your powerful is for me, and I'm sure for others who share my struggle just to get out of bed some days. It's especially true when we live in a country where so many people consider greed a virtue and believe the disregard of others is just taking a practical approach. With your every laugh, there's a bit more reason to hope. And I'm sure an angel gets its wings as well. Chris, Jim, John Fugelsang, and Hal, are you like the healthy family? Oh, boy. I can return to that provides comfort and solace when all else seems so crazy in the world. I listen for a few minutes and I can breathe easier knowing I'm not crazy. There are others who believe compassion is powerful and hope is not naive. And as much as you use self-diminishing humor, your show with fart jokes is blessed. Thank you, Dave. Bless me and my fart jokes. Thank you, Dave. Back at you. All right, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yay, I'm not drunk.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
It's Schechner.
Oh, my goodness.
Again.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Aww. Good morning.
That was in honor of George Jones, who died. We did the country
George
version.
Jones has passed away.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I brought this up earlier because I was saying, you know, I hear something on Rush Limbaugh, I automatically assume it's not true,
mm-hmm.
And I brought this up with you earlier, and in this case, it is not true. Thank God for Ezra Klein in the Washington Post.
Or as you like to call him.
Urza. However, I don't know how to Zubeldot pronounce it, or Jokar.
Don't lump Ezra in with them.
No. So yesterday he was saying,
you see what's happening. Congress is trying to get out of the exchanges for Obamacare. Blah, blah, blah.
And Politico had this piece. So Ezra writes, no, Congress isn't trying to exempt itself from Obamacare. He explains what's going on. There's a Politico story making the rounds that says members of Congress are engaged in secret sensitive negotiations to exempt themselves and their staffs from Obamacare. Ezra goes on to say, if that sounds unbelievable, it's because it is. There's no effort to exempt Congress from Obamacare. No matter how this shakes out, Congress will have to follow the law just like everybody else does. Because you and I were talking about this would be a huge PR, you know, blunder if it were true, right?
Right. So let me just break it down really easily so people can understand what's going on. The way that members of Congress get their health insurance now and their staff is through the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program. And it works the same way any large employer works, right? You get your health insurance kind of in bulk and your employer pays for either all or part of it, the same way most of us get our health insurance through our employer. Well, when all this health care reform was going on, Senator Chuck Grassley said, well, if everybody's going to go into the exchanges, then we have to too. And he thought the amendment wasn't going to pass, and it did. Democrats said, fine, you want to be in it, we'll be in it. That's totally fine by us.
This is like, again, this is just what makes people furious with Congress. It's all about, like, it basically was just the amendment was to embarrass the Democrats. And so then the Democrats, you know, he calls it in a piece of jiu-jitsu of which they were inordinately proud, they instead embraced the amendment. So that's part of why we're where we are with this, right?
Well, what they didn't consider better is that by doing this, they then inadvertently dismantled the way the federal employee health benefits program works, in that the amendment says that as a large employer, the government can't provide anymore because the exchanges aren't open to large employers. So these exchanges that we're setting up are good for individuals and they're good for small businesses. They're not going to be open to large businesses, large employers for another few years, and not until 2017.
Right.
So there's no way that this could work, this Grassley Amendment. You either let government employees go into the program as large company employees, which is not allowed, or you allow them to continue the way they are now, which is keeping the insurance you have if you like it for everybody else. So they've gotten themselves into this weird conundrum because Grassley was trying to prove a point and he failed.
Well, that's the first thing that irritates me, Jackie. It's like if they would spend this kind of energy trying to like help, you know, craft something that would be good for the American people rather than how to, you know, trip each other up politically. I mean, this is the way Ezra explains it. So this was an offhand amendment that was supposed to be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, yeah.
It was designed to try to back Democrats into a corner where it says, you know, if you want everyone to go into the exchanges, then you have to too. And Democrats said, fine, we have no problem with that. We're so confident that this is a good system that we'll do it. And it was all in good faith in that regard. And it was a good idea. But what they didn't take into consideration is the fact that if you're not going to let the exchanges be open to large employers, then you can't let it be open to the government because that's the large employer.
Right.
So
well,
it doesn't work that way. And you can't then subsidize these employees' benefits, government employees' benefits, the same way you do now, because it changes the dynamic of it.
Right. That's what Ezra finishes. He says no one is discussing exempting congressional staffers from Obamacare. They're discussing creating some method through which the federal government can keep making its current contribution to the health insurance of congressional staffers. That is, in other words, an attempt to flee Obamacare. It's an effort to fix a drafting error that prevents the federal government from paying into insurance and changes on behalf of congressional staffers who get caught up in a political controversy.
Exactly.
But, of course, when you hear Rush explain it, it's like, oh, they don't want it either because it's going to be too expensive and there's going to be a brain drain and they won't be able to keep good employees because they're going to keep their blah, blah, blah. Right?
I mean, yes.
Yes. This is what we're going to hear all over right wing.
That's the problem, is the brain drain in Washington.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's silly. People who go to work in Washington aren't going because of the people who work at a low-level congressional staffers and that sort of thing aren't going for the money and the perks. They're going because they want to work in Washington.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be a turnoff. They're not going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to get the same benefits as I did before. That's not why they go.
In other news, Jackie Shechner, are you a frequent texter? Would you consider yourself a frequent texter? I know
yes,
you text
I,
me.
Yes, I am a frequent texter.
Okay.
And she knows how to use the emoji.
Then you are.
I don't use them. That's how you use them.
A lot of my friends very, very, very angry at you that you showed me how to do emoticons on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot
of them.
You
know what else is a deal breaker?
Hmm. What?
LOL.
Really?
I
What if you're really laughing out loud?
Then you write down, that's hysterical, or I can't stop laughing.
Just be quiet
about
it. I just can't stop laughing. That's a lot longer
than
LOL.
That's a lot.
I don't know. Well, something to me, I mean, the way people use LOL is they'll write something, and then they'll be like, LOL.
Just to laugh at their own joke.
Yeah, if it was funny, I don't need you to tell me that you're laughing out loud.
Why is the iPhone's auto-correct thing so, I don't know what's wrong with that. It's just, it's never the word I mean.
Well,
it's not even close to the word I mean.
You know, when I am trying to type a common profanity, it always autocorrects it to ducking. I'm like, who uses the word ducking?
You do.
People who aren't ducking.
Okay.
You spend a lot of time ducking.
And then how much time do we all waste by having to send up follow text? Oh, I meant, and then you know.
Or, oops, sorry, oops. That wasn't for you.
Yes, well, that one. Nice. Anyway, Jackie, if that is true, you are a frequent texter, that makes you, that means you are a shallow, money-obsessed racist, according to science.
Oops.
Sorry, I know, right?
Yeah.
Psychologists at the University of Winnipeg recently completed a 3-year study whose results indicate heavy texters and tweeters are horrible people.
Yes.
Yes.
What?
That did not autocorrect. The researchers surveyed 2,300 of their students to test the so-called shallowness hypothesis.
I would say people have short attention spans or don't pay attention to the people around them, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily shallow or racist.
Or text while they're driving and kill people.
It conjectures that ultra-brief social media like texting and Twitter privilege rapid, relatively shallow thought. Consequently, very frequent daily use of such media should be associated with cognitive and moral shallowness. A study found the more you text,
The Department of Leaps? I mean,
yeah. A study found the more you teach, the likely you are to be a bigot toward indigenous groups, Asians, Middle Easterners, blacks, the obese, and the disabled.
Wow.
Yeah, that seems like quite the stretch.
Well, maybe they just tweet about it more than...
Way to go, fatty. What?
Stop it. All right, we have a Ask Jackie for Healthcare Corner. Hang on, let me see. I did not screw up the phones this time.
Not this time.
See what I did there? Okay, Vince in New Jersey, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. You know, as a physician, I think that, you know, in terms of like how this healthcare law is coming out, expanding a part of healthcare access, which most physicians don't even accept, I don't really think is healthcare, Medicaid. And now with these health insurance exchanges, they're talking about giving reimbursements between close to Medicaid reimbursements, which is going to be another situation in terms of access, because no one's going to be able to most physicians cannot treat patients with Medicaid reimbursements. So these health insurance exchanges are just going to be a sort of a Cadillac Medicaid reimbursement program, which, again, is going to be a significant issue for access.
I think you've just conflated two different things. Medicaid and Medicaid reimbursement is totally separate from the state-based exchanges. What we're doing in terms of expanding Medicaid is offering health care to people who make less than 133% of the poverty level. It's taking care of poor people. And the federal government is paying 100% of that cost for the first 3 years for states to expand Medicaid to poor people. Then the state-based exchanges, which are people who make between, or actually it's open to anyone who's an individual, frankly, and then some small businesses, are really just marketplaces, and they're places for people to shop for private health insurance. So when we talk about expanding access, what we're doing is giving people an opportunity to kind of comparison shop, the same way you would do with something like Travelocity, your Orbitz, Expedia, right? You're going to be able to compare and contrast prices and then pick the plan that's best for you. And if you make between 133 and 400% of the poverty level, then you get a subsidy.
I understand that, but in reality terms, okay, in terms of like, you know, whoever is in these exchanges goes to a health insurance company and they enroll. The reimbursements are going to be close to that of what reimbursements are for Medicaid. Like, you do an appendectomy, you get paid like $17.
Why? How are you getting that information? They're not the reimbursement rates from insurance companies aren't set by the government.
Oh, no. But they mimic the government. In other words, when...
No, they don't mimic Medicaid. They're actually sometimes around Medicare, but it's usually the other way around.
That's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, look, when you've got when you've got private insurances that are going to pay you, let's say, 120 to 130% that of Medicare, yeah, the government doesn't set the rates, but that's how the private insurances base their rates, based on what Medicare is. Now, you've got these health insurance exchanges, which are going to base their rates based on what Medicaid pays.
No. Health insurance exchanges are just marketplaces. The exchanges aren't an entity in and of themselves. It's just an exchange where people can shop for private insurance. The private insurance companies are responsible for setting their own rates. They have nothing to do with Medicare, and they certainly don't have anything to do with Medicaid.
Are you trying to tell me that those individuals who shop in this health insurance exchange are not going to be categorized into a type of insurance?
No. They're private insurance companies. It's Blue Cross, right. Blue Shield, United. It's all the same companies we use now.
I understand that. However, their reimbursements for that type of insurance, you've got gold, you've got silver, you've got all these different types of insurance within those exchanges. It's already been noted that those reimbursements for those types of insurances within those private insurances are going to be close to what they pay for Medicaid.
That's not true. They haven't set reimbursement rates for plans. What they're setting they're setting the basic minimum of what those plans offer. It's setting a base level of what those plans have to offer for your money.
I'm sorry, you've got that incorrect. It's inaccurate. I mean, like...
She helped craft the healthcare law.
Well, I didn't help craft it, but I certainly worked on it in terms of trying to help get something passed.
Yeah, I'm hanging up on him because we're out of time and you kicked his ass.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
No, I just,
he was just arguing from a completely false premise.
Yeah, he's smushing together two different
right.
Medicaid and the health insurance exchanges have nothing to do with each other. It's we're expanding Medicaid to reach the level of the exchange so that we can cover people who don't have access to insurance when they don't have any income.
You are the smartest, prettiest girl in school.
Aww.
More importantly, are you coming to my guitar party starring Jim Ward on harmonica and Mick Jagger impression?
I absolutely am coming to your party, starring Jim Ward on harmonica, as long as I don't have to sing or play an instrument.
What? All you have to do is talk healthcare geek stuff.
That right. doesn't turn anybody on.
I wasn't invited.
You're going to your whatever it is.
Little House on the Prairie Okie.
What?
You're a loser. All right. I love you, Jackie Schechner.
I love you guys, too. Have
okay.
A great
All right. Bye. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Jennifer in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You wanted to respond to that, the physician talking about the exchange, healthcare exchanges.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm actually working on the project for my insurance company dealing with them.
Yep.
And while the gentleman is correct that, yes, there will be different levels, they will have, I believe it's the bronze, the silver, and gold. It's going to work similar to what you're normally offered from your employer, and the reimbursement rates are going to work based upon the standard contracts with the providers because the rates are still going to have to be approved by the state, just like normal insurance plans, and all you're doing is you're going through that marketplace to get that insurance, and then the premiums are being paid to them. All the insurance companies are going to be doing is administering those benefits.
Right, right. So pretty much what Jackie just explained, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he just... I mean, I get that people are so terrified of Obamacare, you know, oh, it's evil, the death panels, but really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing we've said before, Jen, is that, you know, the insurance companies are death panels now, you know?
Exactly.
Right?
They really are.
Yeah, thank you. All right, honey, I appreciate that. Uh-oh, look out, everybody. We got trouble in Belieber land.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
List of troubles linked to Justin Bieber's European tour grew after police in Stockholm, Sweden, said Thursday they had found drugs and a stun gun. On the on his bus, on his someone should have hit him with a stun gun before he wrote the thing in the Anne Frank Museum. That would have been.
Although Anne Frank's stepsister said she probably would have.
She would have been a believer.
Yeah. Well, she liked the movie stars and music stars of the day.
Okay.
So you know, she probably would have been.
Still a self-involved.
Yes. He shouldn't have said that.
Not her.
It was insensitive of him to say. Yes.
Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Oh, you know what? Because we've had so much news, I haven't gotten to my hate mail.
Oh. Do we need hate mail music?
Sure.
All
this
right.
Well, it's a short one.
Does it involve the C word?
No.
The short ones usually do.
No, nor any punting of any kind. Someone named Oakland. You would support Obama if he wanted to blow up an orphanage.
No.
Computer says no.
I don't know how to respond to that. It's a hypothetical. I get it. I'm being called a stupid Obama apologist. I get it, but I... Okay.
All right.
All right. Enrique, you know, because we were obviously talking a lot about this Social Security issue before all the breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Enrique says, Steph, I love you, but you're driving me crazy on this Social Security issue. Social Security contributes zero to the deficit. That part is true.
Sure.
Social Security could be made solvent for years to come by simply raising the cap.
Yep.
Which is also a good idea.
Sure.
Why should we make cuts instead of increasing revenue into
exactly.
the trust fund? Saying the Democrats refusing to cut Social Security is the same as Republicans refusing to agree to revenue increases is false equivalency. How is raising taxes anything like cutting the social safety net?
Mm-hmm.
Deep breath. Enrique in Wichita.
Well, that's true. Okay.
I'm just giving the opposing point of view.
Which is?
Well, here it is, Mama. This is from Julie. Though you may be a Martin Luther King-like figure.
Oh. Wow.
Yikes.
No.
That guy at the Chicago Sexy Liberal said that. Remember?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Need to walk that
right.
back a little bit.
I did.
Okay,
I did.
Good.
No,
thank
I
you.
Did. In fact, I busted this out on him. I said, thank you very much. But
you are an idiot.
Oh, that's right. It's the black gentleman that came up to me at Chicago Sexy Liberal and said, what you do is every bit as important as what Martin Luther.
No. No, 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 no,
no. All right. It's hard to undo, although I am Martin Luther King-like figure. It's hard to undo all the Social Security is perfectly sound, sacred, and untouchable dogma hyperventilated daily. The truth is, if Obama doesn't fix the demographic pressures on Social Security and start shifting some money to things younger people desperately need to build lives for themselves, all of us old people are going to end up on icebergs being shoved off into the open sea the thing becomes politically unmanageable. Just let her finish,
right,
okay?
Right.
Republicans have done a pretty good job of convincing younger people they'll never see a dime from Social Security, that they'll pay to finance boomers' benefits and then be unable to save for their own retirements. Cutting a bit into the rate at which benefits go up seems a small price to pay for preserving the shaky social compact under constant attack from our enemies. If they get the chance to fix it, Paul Ryan will be backing the bus over it, which is true. They will. I mean, if they had their way, they would privatize it entirely. Anyway, and there were some fun facts from PolitiFact.com.
Okay.
Do people get more back in than put in? According to the Institute's data, a two-earner couple receiving an average wage, $44,600 per spouse in 2012 dollars and turning 65 in 2010, would have paid $722,000 into Social Security and Medicare and can be expected to take out $966,000 in benefits. So this couple will be paid about a third more in benefits than they paid in taxes. Such findings suggest even if allowing for inflation and investment gains, many seniors will receive much more in benefits than what they paid in. So she's just putting in context what they're actually talking about. Ronald Brownstein, I was talking about, he wrote a piece echoing some of that. He said, for Democrats, the reflexive resistance to entitlement reform is questionable not only economically but also politically. By prioritizing entitlements over discretionary spending, they're favoring the predominantly white senior population, which casts about three-fifths of its votes for Republicans, which we always talk about. They get people to vote against their best interests. Blah, blah, blah. Republicans in the 2012 elections over the diverse millennial generation, which voted about three-fifths Democratic, Obama is ahead of his party on the future of the coalition. He's casting it in political terms. The most trenchant criticism of Obama's budget is does too little, not too much, to redirect government's focus toward the next generation. But even with this careful first step, Obama is pointing toward an overdue rebalancing of Washington's priorities from consumption to investment and from the past to the future. So it's just an interesting part of the debate in terms of not hyperventilating.
So old people can just suck it, is the point.
No, that is not my point. My point is that I would support the president if he were to blow up an orphanage. What? No! See what you've done to me.
You kind of would.
I would not. All right. You know what?
Bad kids in the orphanage.
I quit until Monday.
They're the ones that kick your chair on the plane.
I would like to thank Crystal Boy and Jim Warper. You know what? I'm just not going to. I'm just only going to thank Travis Bone and also Jackie Schechner, who have been very, very helpful this
morning. What have they done for you?
Everything. What have you done for me lately?
Oh.
All right. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.